My friends in Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus. A word of God from the first epistle of St. Peter in chapter 1, verses 20 through 25, as we continue a series of sermons this Lenten season. St. Peter writes, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you." This is God's Word. Please be seated. Dr. Dean Wenthe at our Fort Wayne Seminary likes to tell the story of a Cocker Spaniel of theirs. You've met Dr. Wenthe, haven't you? And have you ever met his Cocker Spaniel? No? Some of your tuition money is feeding that dog. No. Through his salary. Their family has a Cocker Spaniel named Heidi. And just to give you an idea of Heidi's nature, Dr. Wenthe says this about their dog. He says, "If there are animals in heaven, Heidi will be there only by the grace of God." And to pinpoint Heidi's problem, he says that she never learned who she was. She could not recognize that she was our pet and we her masters. She had a false sense of identity, which almost got her killed in one case. Because apparently the Fort Wayne Police Department uses one of the buildings at our seminary campus close to the president's residence to train their dogs, German Shepherds to be precise. And when Heidi saw these dogs for the first time on her territory, she apparently didn't realize in the order of the canine world that German Shepherds are higher than Cocker Spaniels. And Heidi attacked, and it was only by the intervention of one of the police officers that Heidi was spared from going down into Sheol, not knowing who she was, almost killed her. People in our postmodern times like to say, "I'm being true to myself," as if we know who self really is. You know, Judas, when he sold our Lord for 30 pieces of silver, he thought he knew what he was doing. He thought he was being true to himself. He wanted to force Jesus, apparently, into action to take up the fight against the Romans. And those Roman soldiers who were at Calvary, they knew what they were doing. They were just being true to themselves as dutiful members of Rome's armed forces. But in truth, these people had no idea what they were doing. They killed the very Son of God. Who are you? Who are you? Sitting here right now, you might say, "Well, I'm a Christian," because that's what you would expect I would want you to say. Well enough. But let's push the point a little bit more. Because my guess is out there in the world, if someone says, "Who are you?" your first response is not to say, "I'm a Christian." Your first response is to give your name, and then probably right after that, to talk about your work, your occupation. "I'm Bill. I'm an insurance salesman," or something like that. Is that who you are? On Facebook, someone asks you, "Who are you?" And you can make up any identity you want. Is that who you are? At a family reunion, someone asks you, "Who are you?" And you might say, "Well, I'm Jim's son. I'm the grandson of your uncle." What does that make us? Is that who you are? In one setting, you're an employee. In another setting, you're a customer. In the world of sports, you're a Buckeye. You're a Wolverine. I'm what everybody should be, a Hawkeye. Is that who we are? Perhaps one good way to describe our identities is to think about a patchwork quilt made up of a bunch of very different and brightly colored patches. A little bit of our identity we pull from our parents and family, and that's one patch. And a little bit of our identity is based on our experiences in life, that's another patch. A little bit from our work, a little bit from our culture, a little bit from our sense of nationality, another patch from our circle of friends. A patchwork quilt of the world's influences upon us. And if that's who we are, it's no wonder we recapitulate the sins of our parents, is it? I'm a Schmidt. And without really thinking about it or why I do it, I'm going to carry forward the sins that have been in the Schmidt family for generations. Substance abuse, foul language, abusive relationships, anger, just being true to myself. I'm a part of Western culture, so I am a rugged individualist, even though, as we read this morning, Christ has called us into fellowship in the body of Jesus Christ. But that's not me. I'm an individualist. I'm just being true to myself. I'm a friend in a circle of friends, and so I do what my friends want me to do so I can continue to be a part of that circle. Just being true to myself. I'm an American. So pursuing the American dream of material prosperity will be the be-all, end-all of my existence, regardless of how it impacts my family and my health and my spirit. Just being true to myself as an American. We think we know who we are, and so we think we know what we're doing. Until we hear the Lord pray for us from His cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Father, forgive us for allowing the world to influence our sense of identity, and along with that, for influencing the way we believe and the way we behave. Who are you? Will you listen to Peter as he seeks now to enlighten you on this matter? He says again in verse 23, you have been born again, not of an imperishable seed, but of the imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass and like the flower of the grass. It withers, it falls, but the Word of our God stands forever. The natural seed of your father and your mother, which made you, you, is a perishable seed, and all who are born of that seed will surely die. But you, Peter says, you were born again of another seed that does not perish, the living, abiding, eternal Word of God. And just as that Word is eternal, so too are those who are born again of its seed and who draw from that Word their sense of identity. Your identity. What Peter is saying here about you is like the border around the edges of that patchwork quilt. Yes, you are a member of your family. You are an employee. You are a friend within a circle of friends. You are a citizen of the nation. You are this and that and all these patchwork quilts. But around all of that is the one great truth of an identity born again of the imperishable seed of God's Word. By the Holy Spirit's work, who called you to faith through that Word, faith in Jesus Christ, your identity as a sinner has now been changed to a new identity as a forgiven, redeemed beneficiary of the Lord's sacrifice on His holy cross. Your old identity as a patchwork quilt of all of the influences on your life has been changed by one core fact. Your life is now bound to Jesus Christ. And God now sees us through His Son. so that what he sees is not like that driver's license picture that you hate so much and that you pull out every time someone asks for your ID. No, he sees you for what Christ has made of you by his precious blood and by his innocent suffering and death. And what he sees is what you really, really are. But beware, because that new identity in Christ is constantly threatened as the world bombards you with all kinds of messages that would override your Christian faith and try to reshape your sense of who you are. And this especially happens, I think, when big changes come into our lives. If, for example, you were working but now you aren't, the world says you are unemployed. That's what you are. And the devil would seek by that new name to drive you to despair of God's help and of his presence in your life. Did your spouse die? So you are a widow or a widower, you are told. And by that new identification, the evil one would rob you of the joy that is rightfully yours as one who is born again of the seed of God's word. Is your conscience guilty because of some terrible thing you did and you're bottling it up inside and keeping it secret? So you are scum. Apparently, beyond the grace of God, the devil would have you to believe, and not at all his beloved child. That's your identity. Are you incapacitated in some way? So you are, the world says, you are invalid, which is just another way of saying you are invalid, which is exactly what Satan would want you to think about your identity. No good anymore. Good for nothing. Just a burden on everybody else. Life is over. Do you see how the changes in life also change our sense of who we are? Do you let Satan do that to you? Do you let him get under your skin and do this to you? Convince you that you are something other than what your father says you are? But remember again what Peter says. He says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is good news that is preached to you. Here the apostle is reminding us that two things never change. First of all, the word of the Lord itself stands forever. And secondly, your new identity, born of the seed of that word, is just as imperishable. And as that word is preached to you as good news, it grows and strengthens your sense of identity in Christ. And you learn finally who you really are, despite the world's patchwork influence on your life trying to tell you, you're this, you're that, no, you're this or that. No, he tells us what we are and who we are. You are his child. And he tells us to embrace that hope for your life here and in the world to come. God was true to himself when in love he gave us his only begotten Son. And now through his Son we see who we really are. And now we can say, you know, I'm not that interested anymore in being true to myself. I would far rather be true to my Christ, my Savior, because he has given me a new identity from the seed of the eternal Word of God. I am not a patchwork quilt crafted by you or any other person or by any force or change that has acted upon my life. You and I are the body of Jesus Christ. And we are individually members of it. This is our identity. Let's be true to him who at the cross redeemed us to belong to the Father. And let's be true to him in whom we have received our new identity. Christian. And not just in here, but out there and forever. In the name of Christ. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.